listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Who the fuck, Gambino? This nigga on your TiVo. My hotel costs a kilo. I'm banking like a free throw. Fuck y'all, we A-team. Y'all plan B like Walgreens. Cop that shit and paint it black. Niggas want they summer back. Ha ha, no way. Hue blows. Dolce. Bees in my hand. Girl in the car. She's still with a man, but she's seeing me tomorrow. Homegirl on that Master P. Watch us ball like referees. Unnecessary roughness. We just trying to function. Used to sport them feelers because my cousin packed them heaters. We don't wipe them like a leaf. Party and we leave them. Tell them what we hitting. We don't really see them. Your girl looks best, but she only wear fake cute veto in the house, which means in the Senate. Get it? Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Who Tells podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen. That's my jam.
Mm-hmm. That's unnecessary. We're live on a Wednesday, which is a Walking Dead Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
For all my Walking Dead freaks out there. All three of us.
Come on, we gonna roll hard.
We the last one standing.
Nah, I'm fine with that.
Shout out to everybody that couldn't make it this far. We are just like the Walking Dead. We don't never quit. We don't never die.
Mm-mm.
Only head trauma gonna stop us.
That's it.
You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic. Search the Black Guy Who Tells. Leave us 5-star reviews. The official weapon of the show is
the taser.
And the unofficial sport.
What about?
And Bullet Ball Extreme. And today's episode is brought to you by Triangle Wine Company. That's right. It's Wine and Walking Dead Wednesday. Okay. Triangle Wine Co. is their website, trianglewineco.com. They sell thousands of wines. There's so many wines, guys. I mean, like, it's a tremendous amount of wine. Okay. Even your favorite wino will be like too many choices. Okay. And the wines come from all over the world. They come for every budget. If you want to like get some balling ass, like I'm gonna spend some money on this wine, you can do that. If you just be like, man, I just need a little something affordable that still tastes great, you can get that. If you want something from a certain region, like I'm just looking at California wines, I'm just looking at French wines.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to get something that's organic, I mean, they got everything for you, okay? So just go on trianglewineco.com because they got weekly sales and deals and discounts. And then you can load up so you can figure it out with the shipping, like how I'm gonna get this shipped to me. And if you don't wanna, you know, if you live in the Raleigh Durham area, you can actually go into the stores. They have mm-hmm. three stores and shop while you go to their free wine tasting events, or you can buy wine by the glass at the tasting bar so you know what it tastes like before you even get it.
Mm-hmm.
And you can find a brand new favorite wine at Triangle Wine Company's amazing selection on their website, trianglewineco.com. I'll bring up later in the show the couples goals pack and discount that we have going right now. I'll give you a hint though, put in code TBGWT if you want to get some money, you know, gonna get a little mm-hmm. something off, you know. Karen, didn't you just get my mom some wine?
Yes. Me and her were talking and she was like, I want to get that couple's wine pack. And I was thinking, I was like, well, I didn't tell her at the time. I was like, well, I'll get it for her because it's probably more convenient for me to get it mm-hmm. and get it and ship it to her. And so, because I kind of knew what to do. So I ordered it for her and she got it yesterday. She was surprised. I didn't tell her what it was. I just said, oh, it's a gift coming for you. And she said, oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah, she texted me and it is sweet. And we'll get to how sweet later in the show. Let's first talk about The Walking Dead, guys. It's time for us to do this recap. Of course, this was episode 10. 11. Wow, we only got 5 left. It was episode 11 of season 9. It's called Bounty. It's directed by Mira Menon, written by Matthew Negrete. And 4.39 ratings, so rates still going down, y'all. Till it's just going to be me and Cam. It's going to be 0.002. And it's going to be us sitting in the house.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I'm fine. Yep, we're doing it till the wheels fall off. But yeah, it was called Bounty. Karen, are you ready to do some Walking Dead?
Yes.
Now, there's two things I gotta do before we get into the recap.
Okay.
The first, I gotta ask you, Karen, overall, what'd you think about this episode?
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it a lot. I think I enjoyed this week's episode a little bit more than last week's.
Okay. And I actually enjoyed it too. I actually enjoyed it a lot more than last. Well, let me think. No, because when I rewatched last week, I actually really liked it. So.
And see, I didn't rewatch, so my opinion a little different.
Think about this. I liked it, man. I actually liked it. It had some upbeat stuff in there, and then it had some some plot building stuff, world building stuff in it, and some good acting. Yeah, I enjoyed this episode. Mm-hmm. Now the second thing I have to get into is, what are we whining on, y'all? What are we whining on?
Well,
at TriangleWineCo.com, they have plenty of selections of wine. This one is a bunch of words I can't pronounce, but I will try for y'all. It says Odessa ... So I don't know what that means. Odessa ... at the top. So I don't know if they was just being sassy, like Odessa. I don't know. But then I know it's fancy because it's got a statue of two ivory statues or something of two people, two Greeks.
They got some artwork going on.
Look like they about to frig it. And then it says Romagna Canina Dolce, and then in between that is a whole lot of long words. Denim Inazione di Origine Protetta, which of course means denim jeans boots with the fur.
I don't think that's what that means.
Nope. Okay, well, whatever it means, it says take a sip from this soft fruity wine and your day will start to sing. Made from 100% Rofosco grapes, this ruby red wine will delight you with a medley of sweet, intense berry flavors and a lingering aftertaste of candied violets. God damn.
Not violets.
So let me take a sip of this motherfucker real quick. Oh my. Now see, you can taste the candied violets.
That's delicious.
That's amazing. I like real talk. My wine glass says this shit's about to get fancy, and it is.
Mm-hmm. This shit's about to get sloppy.
This is good.
It just feels good.
Then, of course, we can't just do wine, okay? Mm-hmm. We got to get our money's worth. We're going to make a whole experience. So I went to Publix and got some fresh goat cheese with roasted red pepper. And then at the end, at the bottom, it says elite for some reason. I don't know why. Just the elite cheese. I don't be fucking with that cheese. Y'all be fucking with that little pedestrian ass shit.
That regular ass cheese.
Just for the elites, okay? Oh, so the way you supposed to actually make it is you supposed to, I don't think we did it right. You supposed to peel the top, turn it upside down, take a knife, put it all around, and then put it on the plate upside down.
Oh, wow. Well,
which did not do.
I just mixed that shit together. I was like, oh. Yeah, let's mix it up.
We did not.
Cause that's what I do with every fucking thing else. I was like, well, it's separated. I guess I'm supposed to mix it.
Karen did not read the instructions.
I did take the plastic part. I got that shit right.
Well, yeah, you can't eat the plastic like a savage animal. So, we apparently are eating this all wrong.
Mm-mm, we ain't fancy enough.
Yeah, so, I mean, I didn't please know forgive it was us.
Cheese etiquette.
Yeah, please forgive our cheese etiquette, everybody. Okay, at the end of the day, you know who you're dealing with when you listen to this podcast.
Come on.
Okay, you know exactly what
they
should have
had it on the outside of the box.
Nigga, you knew that. And then we got the mighty bean chipotle tomato good things by Nabisco. So I know Nabisco is not all fancy and shit, but mm-mm. I've never had Mighty Bean, whatever this is. It's chipotle tomato good things, the bean one. So I guess they got beans in it.
I'm assuming so. I think it said it's made out of beans. It got beans in it.
Well, let's try some of this because last week I enjoyed the cheese and cracker, cheese and Parmesan. Toasted, whatever, but it was a little too salty for me. Let's see what we're working with this.
That's good.
Okay. Okay, now see, that's I got it right this week.
That's delicious.
I got it right this week, y'all. We got a creamy cheese. We got some good bean crackers spread, to spread them on. Mm-hmm.
But who knew bean crackers was good?
And then we got a fruity, denim jeans wine.
Hey, black bean crackers. They're really good for those of you trying to be healthy. This is a great snack.
Mm-hmm. I only mess with them black beans. You know what I'm saying? Them beans of color.
Come on.
Some of y'all out there mess with them navy beans.
Mm-hmm. Black them, beans and red beans.
Them white beans. That's why y'all shit looking all messed up.
Mm. Oh, these are absolutely delicious.
Mm-hmm. Let's just eat these and don't do the show.
What? I know it's so.
Good night, y'all. It was real.
It was real, real.
Sorry to our sponsor. No second read today.
Mm-hmm. Good while it lasted.
All right. Let's get into The Walking Dead. There's a lot to break down, guys, okay? A lot of stuff to talk about. All right, now, where do you want to start? We only had two locations, the Kingdom and Hilltop.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we start with the Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
All right, the Kingdom. First of all, we get a flashback from, like, what appears to be about 5 or 6 years ago.
Yep.
And it's Jerry telling King Ezekiel and Queen Carol while they're out in the middle of the woods, kind of waiting in a meeting spot because some people are coming to meet them.
Yeah, just the three of them.
Yeah, it's just the three of them. And he's like, I got some news I want to tell you, King and,
mm-hmm. and
Queen. Carol, Queen, mm-hmm. and it's important. And, you know, I ain't trying to, you know.
I don't want nobody to know that.
Want nobody else to know this, but, you know that girl Nabila I've been, dating?
He been smanking.
Been smashing. Been chopping her Muslim cakes to oh. Islamic smithereens.
They're such a cute couple.
And by the way, like, this flash forward they did later, it was really dope because of this.
Mm-hmm.
But he's like, hey, she toting a gut full of Jerry, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
I done, your boy done left it in, you know what I'm saying? And so Ezekiel was like, you know, this is good, man. Congratulations. Carol's like, congratulations.
Yeah, looking forward to the future.
Mm-hmm. And then right about then, Jesus and Tara come riding over and they like, hey, we got them supplies for you, because apparently Tara and Jesus needed to give some medicine to Hilltop, and the Kingdom was the one that had the medicine. So they was like, we got some supplies, some medicine for y'all to give to y'all people. Tara was still living in Alexandria at this time.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus was coming from Hilltop, but Maggie was the one in charge. And basically, whatever happened, we still don't know what, but
not yet.
Maggie and Michonne weren't on good speaking terms. They weren't fucking with each other, which is sad, because you would think, you know, that Rick's dying would have kept everybody together or put everybody, but it had the opposite effect, I guess.
Something happened after he died, so like something mm-hmm. major happened outside of him dying that caused everybody to cause a big rift.
That makes sense, because I just felt like after he died, that would have been a time where everybody would say, we need to come together, this is important. We got bigger problems than just, you know, this little petty shit we've been fighting about.
Yeah, and they didn't put it in words, but something happened, and Michonne made a decision that nobody else agreed with.
Mm-hmm.
And it just caused a big rift in a discord amongst the communities.
You know, one thing I did notice in this scene, Jesus does mention that, I mean, I'm sorry, Tara does mention the council at Alexandria said, don't be giving all our good medicine away. You giving away too much shit. Or whatever supplies they gave. So, she was like, I might not be moving back. This might be it for me. Your girl might live in Hilltop now. So, that's how serious the shit was.
Right.
That was going on with them is like, she was essentially moving the fuck out. So, that was kind of sad.
Mm-hmm. She was like, I'm letting y'all know where my mail forwarding address is.
Mm-hmm. Like, if you looking for your girl, send it to Hilltop, because I'm just not gonna get that at Alexandria.
Mm-mm.
And because of this, she also took the charter that Michonne had written that was like a new constitution. We spent a lot of time with that earlier this season.
Yeah, like the first half, yeah, a lot of time was spent prior to Rick dying I mean, she literally was spending every hour of the day writing, hoping and writing, wanting to rebuild and talk about the community and everybody coming to get, like, it was almost like that was her goal, that was her purpose.
And she was super, it was super important to her, you know, her being a lawyer. I think it was like a skill she could take with her and use.
Right.
And so now we like, it's like, nah, apparently all, we know all, now all that was for naught. So anyway, Tara has brought the declaration with her and gives it to Ezekiel and now.
Mm-hmm.
And then her and, Jesus are like, we're going to head back to Hilltop and nurse everybody. And, they said, you know, Zeke, you should keep it because I can't, Michonne ain't even going to fucking take, blow the dust off this shit. And Maggie don't want nothing from Michonne right now. So why don't you keep it? And he said, okay. And then in the present, then they show Jerry said, can you open it up? Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
And my thing is that it would make, sense to actually put it in his hands, mm-hmm. in my opinion. Because, you know, he's probably one of the people that actually want peace. You know what I mean? Like, whatever mm-hmm. happened, he was like, I'm fine with whatever's decided. I just want us to get along.
Mm-hmm.
So they was like, we know he won't destroy it. He won't tear it up. You know what I mean? Like we know if we give it to him, it's going to be in good hands. And we'll know that he's going to actually have faith, like Michonne initially did, that everybody will get together and actually be on one accord one day.
Well, also, he's a mutual acquaintance that they don't have beef with, it sounds like.
Right.
So, in the present, they show Zeke looking at the charter in the auditorium, and it's still unsigned. Because in the past, Jerry said, can you open it up? I want to see it. And they opened it up, and they're reading some of it, and it's unsigned. And it has some stuff in there that, like, I mean, you could pause the TV and read some of it.
Mm.
I do have a little bit of it I can read to y'all, like, okay. Stuff it said.
Yeah, because it was like a quick flash, unless you pause your TV.
Yeah, there are many articles for various laws and agreements. There's a preamble. Any person who would live in peace and fairness who would find common ground, this world is yours by right. We stand together for life, not death, in this new world. Together, we make this world bigger. The future is ours, so long as we hold onto our faith in one another with everything. Unclear what that word said. To consecrate our bond, we established this multi-community charter of rights and freedoms.
Yeah, so it's like her own version of their constitution.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, it looked like the big thing is going to be, can these communities come back together in the future, and what effect is the Whisper is going to have on them? So then we get to the present.
I think eventually they will. It's just going to be interesting to see what happens from here. I think, and my quote-unquote prediction is, and I might be completely wrong with this, but my addiction is that my prediction is that Daryl will be over Alexandria.
Mm. Okay. Well, it's kind of interesting because we haven't been back to Alexandria since really the first episode. If you think about it, we saw a little bit of it with Negan because he left and came back, but
right.
We didn't see a lot of inner workings of what's going on over there. We just know Michonne's trying to go back and warn them about the Whispers, but we haven't seen them in a few weeks. So then in the present, like I said, Zeke's in the auditorium looking at the unsigned declaration, and Diane comes in like, hey, we ready. And he goes outside. Diane briefs him about, like, hey, it's some elk in the field. We counted like 100 of these motherfuckers. And he was like, 100? That's some good eating. Okay. We can kill them elks and then get, like, you know, barbecue them up. And then we're going to do it for the fair that we're going to have with Hilltop. And he said, we'll have enough food to feed us, the half of Hilltop and Alexandria.
And my thing is this, kind of like a few weeks before when Daryl seen like that zombie that was on that tree and he seen like foliage growing on it. So it's like the earth is slowly recovering and regaining, like, because, you know, it was a period of time where you wouldn't have seen no animals roaming anywhere.
Mm.
So now we're at a time where everything is starting to kind of recover and come back and look like animals are starting to give birth and stuff like that. Because before, So I wonder if it's, because the dead is still out there, but I'm wondering if it's to the point to where the dead is decaying, you know, because you know they're walking around. I mean, because it is human bodies, and we've seen like different forms of dead bodies and what happens to them when they get cold and all these other things. So I'm wondering if we're going to get something to explain why everything is kind of coming back, almost like a rebirth.
Yeah, I think you thought about that a lot deeper than I did, because no, it's you don't need to apologize. You thought about it deeper than I did. That's nothing wrong with that. What I was gonna say is you thought about it a lot deeper than I did. I just really thought like maybe it's because they're finally reaching a hierarchy of like needs being met. They can concentrate on shit like hunting more sophisticated than they were before, you know what I'm saying? Like when you just trying to survive, you don't got it don't matter if you see a field of fucking elk or not, you just like you just trying to live, you know? So it's like I kill a fucking rabbit dog if I got to, I don't care what I got to do to eat. And now they sound like they're more sophisticated, where it's like we got parties that are just spotting the animals, and then we come back to you, and they were even telling him, Diane was like, and the herd of walkers is moving from this point to that point, so we got 6 hours to get there before the walkers run into the damn elk, so we can kill a few and then haul them back all and be safe. And you know, and of course they don't know about the whisperers yet.
And that was my fear. I was like, oh shit, they're gonna go ahead and get hemmed up.
Right, me too. I was like, they're gonna run into them. Although we don't know how big that group is, exactly how nomadic it is and where they are.
Right.
So yeah, it was kind of interesting that you know, she was like, let's do this. And then also Carol, you know, because he's like, let's do on Zeke's like, let's go on the hunting party, Diane, let's do it. And then Carol had her hunting clothes on, and he was like, where you going? And she was like, I'm going with y'all hunting. And he was like, you sure you want to do that? You don't want to take care of the fair, my queen? And she was like, don't call me your queen, nigga, okay? she was like, you know, I got the empty nest syndrome, you know, Henry left, we don't got nobody else to take care of, right. She's looking at Nabila.
She was like, I gotta do something.
Yeah, she's looking at Nabila and Jerry, and they got like 3 kids now.
Yeah, they do.
And Jerry was looking like a snack, man. He had like changed up his clothes, and like he didn't look like a big old goofy axe wearing dude no more.
Yeah, that's what happened. She got him right.
Right. Black woman changed her whole life, had his hair cut differently, and the ponytails look different.
She was like, you can't be out here looking shabby with me.
She had him moisturized, and he was using them.
Come on.
He was using them butters and shit in his hair. He was looking different. And so
she had him out here eating at what is that, that hollow halal,
halal, okay.
Yeah.
So Henry, Jerry's telling them goodbye, and you know, like, I'll be right back, baby. And you know, Zeke was like, all right, Carol, you can come with us. And so Carol comes with them, and to go on the hunt, and they were talking so cute. Like, it was like the whole Kingdom side story was so cute this week. It was so fun. Everybody's in love, everybody's having a good time. Mm-hmm. Like, their mission is some lighthearted shit.
their mission is one of the side missions you get in Red Dead Redemption.
Mm-hmm. There are no lighthearted missions in Red Dead Redemption.
Oh, my bad.
To the rivers and streams that you used to. Okay.
Well, excuse me.
I'm just telling you, it's real over there, Karen. It's not fun. That's why I stopped playing.
I didn't realize it was savagery.
This ain't Legend of Zelda, okay?
Well, yeah, you would get this. You would get a mission like this in Legend of Zelda. Yes, you would.
He asked Carol. So they asked about that, and she's like, "I'm coming." Zeke gets on his horse, and he's like, and he looks down at somebody. He goes, "It's all gonna work out," because you know Zeke. He got that optimism back, and it's been a long time since he was that optimistic.
Because he gave up hope at one period of time.
Dog, he was ready to go. If Carol hadn't admitted she loved him at that time, who knows where that man would have been.
Right.
Zeke and them catch the elk. We just cut to them already have killed the elk and like loaded up to go back. And he's like, well, Carol, why don't you go back with the rest of everybody?
And she's like, rid of her.
She's like, what you mean go back with everybody else? Ain't you coming? And he was like, well, to be honest, our mission got a little side mission we doing. And she's like, well, what is the side mission? And he was like, well, it's nothing you'd be interested in. She's like, well, tell me and I'll let you know if I'm interested. And he was like, I guess I could just show you. But my favorite part of this exchange, she was like, why are you acting like you scared? And he said, scared? me? Like, it was some good.
He was scared.
Yeah.
He was like, I'm scared. You gonna say no?
He said, scared? What?
Me?
He sounded like every nigga that ever got caught cheating on Love and Hip Hop. Who number is this in your phone? What, girl?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, come on. Now you tripping. And then he said to Jerry, he said, Jerry, does this look like the face of a man who's scared? And Jerry was like, no comment, your majesty. I said, now that is a nigga from Detroit, okay? Just with a secret family he was going to visit, and Carol done caught him. Trying to see his other family on the side with his other pet tiger. It was cute, man. It also reminded me that Carrie Payton, who plays Ezekiel, is the voice of Cyborg on Teen Titans, because that was a very Teen Titans type of delivery. That what?
Oh, I love that fucking show.
They go to an abandoned movie theater full of zombies. Full of zombies, y'all. Zombies to the brim. And
it was one of the independent movie theaters. Probably one of the theaters that played Moonlight and if Bill Street Could Talk played in that theater.
Mm-hmm. And of course, Green Book. Oh, the Academy Award winning.
Of course, Green Book played there.
Film of the year, Green Book. Mahershala Ali's Oscar winning Green Book.
Come on.
Jerry's all hype, like, yeah, we're going to the movies. He says it so many times. Carol's like, okay, we get it. And the mission is they wanted to get a bulb from inside the movie theater. Because they want to bring back the wonderment of film, because we live in a world where the kids have never seen a film,
right?
You know,
right, particularly if you wasn't there, if you were not born before the outbreak, or if you were a small child during the outbreak, no, you wouldn't have seen the film.
Right. And I think I can play this scene for y'all. I have to bring it up on my old computer here, but
and ain't like you can buy tickets and go to the movies,
right? And so, you know, they don't have DVD players.
Mm-mm.
You just got a bunch of kids up that have grown up in this world and they just never been able to see like a movie and shit, let alone the theater experience. Now the kingdom has a theater,
right?
That is where the throne room of Ezekiel is
in the theater,
but they don't have a projector bulb. They have a projector that works, but it doesn't have a bulb, and they got a theater room and all this shit. And so his thing is, if we steal this bulb, not steal, I mean, everybody's dead. If we take this bulb from the movie theater, we can then turn around and show movies to kids and put on like perform or whatever, like put on stuff for everybody to watch on movie night. You know, it's just, and like I said, it's a real upbeat side mission type of thing. It's not, you know, your somber, you know, march of death that the other side of the story is.
Yeah. And also, this is, like I said, these are the things you can do when needs are met. When you know, it's like the hierarchy, like how they talk about when certain needs are met, then you start other things. When those needs are met, then you start worrying about other things. It was like the basic needs of roof over your head and food are met. Mm-hmm. So then you can branch out and you could plan other things and do other things. And almost like you get to a place of privilege where you can actually dedicate your attention to things like this. When, like you said, prior to this, that would have been an afterthought. It would have been completely scratched off the table.
Yeah, so that was that was kind of cool to be able to see that. And now an ad is playing, guys. Mm-hmm. I would have showed you this already, but it decided to show me the whole ad, apparently.
Yeah, all you right, can't skip.
Here we go.
A projector bulb? Really?
I know. It's not something we absolutely need, and it's a little dangerous, but we got it all planned out.
There's a herd coming.
We can beat it in and out like a cobra strike.
We're barely getting by with what we have. These people are fathers and mothers. What do you...
It's worth it because they're fathers and mothers. Henry used to love movie nights. It's been 5 years since our last projector bulb burned out, The younger ones don't even know what a movie is. A fair should inspire a sense of whimsy and wonder, right? Bringing cinema back from the dead? Showing children their first film. Now that's something that would make our gathering of community something they'd never forget. And if they love it, if this moment of fellowship with their neighbors is seared into their hearts and minds, then they'll fight to preserve those bonds. Hey, we're given the gift of joy and lifelong friendship. If that's not worth fighting for, I don't know what the hell is.
This Renaissance Fair ass nigga is selling the hell out of this dream. But, cause I really was like, this is stupid. All them zombies in there. Y'all gonna get ate over motherfucking bulb. Somebody gonna die. Something gonna go wrong. Cause something always go wrong.
Right.
And he gave that speech and I went, you know what? The kids need a motherfucking movie. Okay. We are watching Minions 3. All right.
Come on.
Assuming they got that far in this world.
My kids had seen a movie.
Okay.
You win.
I'm not gonna not keep you safe.
So. So this is where they use a boombox playing, All Right Now. I forget who made this. Eddie something. But they use a boombox playing All Right Now to walk the zombies out. And it's funny because, Eddie Harris is who made it.
Everybody knows the song.
It's funny because, Jerry is actually mouthing the words and shit.
Mm-hmm.
And Carol is, I love the actress that plays Carol because she plays like the straight man and he's against Jerry and against Zeke, who are very silly characters. She really was looking at this nigga like not even bobbing her head like, we are gonna get bitten because of you and this stupid ass song.
Right,
and
she was really looking like, what the fuck is, why does everybody know the song but me?
Right.
Almost like me and everybody that got younger than name as a rapper. Who, what is happening here?
I think she was just looking around like, why are y'all not taking this serious?
Right.
We could get bit and this whole mission to take a turn. But nah. They all swaying. Of course, Jared mouths the lyrics. And Carol is like, these niggas gonna get us killed.
Right.
So, alright. Then they go inside, as y'all can see. They end up killing a bunch of zombies. And long story short, like, they get a, hold on, why is it still playing? I thought I hit pause. Do this one more time. All right. Long story short, inside, they kill a bunch of walkers that are, like, stuck, coming out of a popcorn machine.
Mm-hmm.
They have a really cool, gross scene where one of them pulls out the top of his head.
Yes, on, like, the bottom of, like, this is, like, the old-fashioned popcorn maker ones they have at the movie theaters.
Mm-hmm.
So one of us went up underneath. You know how you have, like, that big metal kettle thing that you pour the kernels in, you watch the heat up? Zombie kind of went up underneath that part and, like, ripped the top of his head open.
Yeah.
That was neat.
It was pretty cool. And then, after that, they get to the projection room. Zeke is like, all right, Jerry, you know the mission. You go in and get the thing out the projection room. Diane goes with them to watch his back or whatever. And then everybody outside is like, okay, we'll just, mingle, chill around, whatever. But be safe and secure. Watch the perimeter. Zeke pulls Carol to the side and says, I actually have another mission. I need you to go with me. A side mission to my side mission.
I know.
He's like, don't worry, we're gonna get in and out. Cobra strike. And so, his side mission was to get poster board from the movie theater posters so he could put the declaration of whatever colonies or whatever communities that Michonne crafted into like a poster board holder,
like a glass case.
Yeah, like a case, the framing. You say it was gonna, when everybody signs it, he would have that he would have that frame thing to always go by, to be like, you know, look what we accomplished together, because he had not given up on that dream.
Mm-mm.
Carol then kind of like brings him down to reality for a second, and she's like, listen, I'm not saying it can't happen, I'm not saying it's not real, but I need you to understand that if this doesn't happen, maybe we can talk to Jesus, because they don't know he's dead.
Right.
I was like, oh shit,
because it's no communication, you know.
Right.
Like as time goes on, you go, there's no communication, because mm-hmm. before everybody would have known about the whisperers, everybody would have known Jesus was dead, like everybody would have known, like you'd have had riders riding out to immediately inform everybody about what was happening in other communities.
Right. And she says, maybe we can tell Jesus, just in case we might need to stay at Hilltop for our people until we find someplace better. Now what I'm thinking is, do Hilltop look like they got room for all of the kingdom and they families?
I don't know.
How the hell would that work? There's no way all them people can stay there. You know, not that Hilltop is like outer space, but you can look at it and see it's not fucking just a whole lot of extra development and shit over there for people to move in. They don't need people. And Zeke was like, but the kingdom, it'll work out, it'll be fine. And she's like, but just in case it's not, maybe we should ask Jesus, you know. And he's like, yeah, I can't. And she said, I know you're a dreamer, but wouldn't a dreamer also dream that maybe we can find a better place even than kingdom? And he was like, and he was like, you know what, you're right, I should be prepared for any contention, so we can talk to Jesus about this soon. Now we know that they'll never talk to Jesus about this.
Jesus gone. That nigga dead.
Yeah, that nigga dead.
You be talking to Tara.
And so then they get the bulb, and they have to be very careful because Jerry's like, if human skin oil touches it, it can break. If it's fragile, if you untwist it too hard, it can break. If you drop it, it can break. So they get the bulb, they go to leave, and Zeke gets a warning from somebody outside that the goddamn boombox stopped working because the batteries ran out.
Ah, nobody changed the batteries before they left.
I think we're, and to be fair, maybe we're at the point in the Z-Pac where if motherfucking batteries are never fucking, like, batteries are just all 15 minutes long now.
Yeah, because you're of the age where some of these batteries have probably passed their, whatever their expiration date is. So, yeah, you might get a set that might last a while, but y'all know shit that use batteries. You use that shit, it will die.
Like, cause you gotta figure there's no battery factory. So.
Right, there's no battery store. Y'all can't run down to the Dollar Tree and buy 75 of them for 50 cents.
So at some point, we might have to deal with something like this where batteries are just fucking dying and all batteries are 10 minutes long or whatever. So he gets warned, hey, we got the zombies coming back in 15 minutes. The motherfucking batteries ran out. And so now we got a race against the clock. And Jerry and Diane go to leave. A zombie they must have missed on the way in. Convenient zombies. Yeah. Yes. Convenient zombie comes out of nowhere, scares Jerry. Jerry drops the fucking bulb, even though he wrapped it up in plastic mm-hmm. and all this shit. He drops it into the theater.
Yep, down the shaft.
Down the shaft into the theater. And the only way for them to get it is to have to go into the theater and kill all the zombies that are locked in the theater.
Mm-hmm.
And so when he tells Zeke this, Zeke is like, well, look, we got the poster board, maybe we should just head back, we got our lives, everybody's okay.
Yeah, because he was like, I don't want to endanger anybody, that wasn't the purpose of us making this trip.
Right. No whimsy, no friendly camaraderie at the fair, guys. No lifelong friendships will be formed over movies. Let's just go back. And and then Carol is the one, after earlier in the episode telling him not to call her queen, Jerry was like, well, if the king says that, then that's what we're doing, let's go back.
Right.
And she says, but what about the queen? And I said, oh, now you want to be the queen?
You're right,
now it's time to be the queen. Carol, you didn't want to be called the queen.
Mm-mm.
30 minutes ago.
Nope.
Women.
Yes.
But she's like, the queen has spoken, we are going in there. And Ezekiel was like, you sure you want to do this? She was like, yeah, let's do it, you know. It's only a few kills for each of us. We'll open the doors, we'll draw them to the stairs, we'll kill them, and we'll slowly whittle them down, and we'll go in there and get the thing when they all dead.
Yeah, and then she hit him with the Cobra Strike.
And, right, and she said Cobra Strike, and it was so cute, and it's so funny, and I loved them together. And right. even, and then when they started to kill, when they started to kill the zombies, y'all, they played the song again.
And you slowly watch them fuck them zombies up.
It was so adorable.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the way back, Lyra Horse, of course, Zeke is thanking her like, oh, thank you so much, baby. You, you really did this and you helped. I can't believe you did that for me. She said, who said I did it for just you?
Right.
No, I did it for all them kids, the whole community. And she also said, I did it cause I just want you to be safe. And Carol knows she's still the baddest motherfucking apocalypse. So she like, if I'm looking out for you, y'all will be all right. Right. You know? They get the bug, they headed back. Then they pass a sign because he says something like, you know, maybe it's time for us to accept that, like, you're right. Maybe we have to be prepared for any eventuality, but maybe it's time we stop losing. And things are starting to look up for us. And they pass a sign that has some weird markings on the back of it that I don't know what they mean.
I don't either, but my hypothesis is that it is some form of a sign that the Whisperers used to mark that territory.
Mm-hmm. I can see that, but it makes you wonder, like, how big is the Whisperers territory? Where is it? What do they consider their territory? Which communities do they know about? Because Lydia did not seem to know about the kingdom.
Probably because they hadn't made it out that far yet.
Mm-hmm.
They always are scouting, too.
But also, we don't know that they were in their normal range because they did go to this theater. And maybe this theater is in the territory of the Whisperers. I don't know.
In or maybe out, because which direction was they going in?
I don't know. It was on the back of the sign, so you can't really tell.
Okay. You can't really tell if it was in the territory or out.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If that was their mark, it could be some total other group. I don't know.
That's right. Could be something completely different. My assumption is the Whisperers. I could be completely wrong. Could be a whole nother fucking threat, but my assumption is that it's the Whisperers.
And at the end, we get Zeke and Carol framing the Bill of Rights. The projector light turns on, and then they kiss. Isn't that sweet, y'all?
It was so happy and light and fluffy. Like, I really enjoyed this piece of it.
Mm-hmm. So then, at Hilltop, where the shit gets real, right. Tara is on the wall with some people. And you remember last time we were there, Alpha had brought her group down and took off her mask and was like, I am Alpha. Y'all have my daughter. And so she was like talking to them or whatever and saying like, yo, we not the ones to fuck with, okay? Fuck what you heard. We got people in here, and if y'all want to get violent, we can get crazy. And Alpha says, I showed you my face because I don't mean you any harm. So I'm not trying to get crazy. I just want my daughter back.
Right.
She said, Daryl says, leave now. No one gets hurt. Alpha says, wrong answer. And then she signals to some more of her men or zombies to come out of the woods, and more of them come out. And it's not a huge group, y'all. I'm talking like maybe 20, 25 at the most. Very small group.
Yeah, so far, but I think they're a lot bigger than that, but yes.
They could be. This is not to say this is the entire group, but I'm just saying she wasn't bringing a force to look intimidating.
Right.
And I think that's what was funny, because I feel like our group, Hilltop, is so used to people trying to make big shows of force. In a way, they kind of underestimate, they might be underestimating them, because I think they look at them and go, okay, it's 16 of y'all. Like, if y'all really want to put out the guns and get the smoking, we can get the smoking out this bitch and y'all will be dead. And it's like, we don't know what they're showing y'all and what they're not.
Right.
So, Alpha's like, look, bring my daughter out. She brings another group of zombies. Meanwhile, Earl, the blacksmith, is getting fixed up. by Enid because he had an arthritis spasm or something and spilled hot metal on his arm. And she putting juices and berries and eucalyptus leaves on them.
Yeah, she is.
And Tammy comes in, starts nagging, talking about, you know, cause, Enid was like, maybe you should take a break. And Tammy was like, he should just retire. And Earl's like, I'm not retiring, da, 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 I'm good. And just give me the medicine. I'll go back to work. And got his jacket and left. He was kind of grumpy about it. And then on the outside, Enid and, Tammy have a talk where Tammy's like, you know, I think he's just filling the void of us having our son die with work.
Right. Because he was training him. So he had actually probably stopped blacksmithing and would just kind of pass his tips on to the boy.
Well, here's what I was thinking though. The other reason he's probably working so hard is the fair is coming. Right. Alden was his apprentice. Alden's missing.
Right.
So he was like, I got 24 horseshoes to make before the fair. I got to go. So that's why they wasn't the reason he burned himself. He was probably fucking out there rushing and shit, doing a 2-man job with one person.
Right. And then looked like Henry was going to be kind of next in line as far as learning that process.
Yeah.
But he fucked around and got drunk and got locked up.
Right. So Earl probably been working his ass off fucking with that little boy.
Right.
So then Tammy tells Enid, like, look, it's gonna be okay. Alden gonna show up, don't worry about it. And then a guy named Michael walks by and says the ones that killed Jesus are at the gate. And so Enid runs off to the gate. Magna and Daryl are at the gate and they discuss how basically Daryl's like, fuck that woman, I'm not giving her daughter back.
Right.
And I said, okay, now
that's gonna be a problem, but right, sure. Okay.
I know that Daryl has experienced abuse and
right,
this is very triggering for him, I'm sure, but he also was slamming that little girl up against a wall last week. Like, he ain't, they ain't exactly best friends, okay? And when it comes down to it, you might have to give her back to her mama.
Yeah. And I think it was less for him and more for Henry.
Yeah that too. So then you know, Alpha says, which one of you was the leader? And Daryl says, what does it matter? And then she's like, your people crossed into our land, there will be no conflict. Your people killed our people, there will be no conflict. I'm done talking, bring me my daughter or there will be conflict. And Daryl walks away from the wall and says, I'm not giving her daughter back. And somebody said, I think it was Henry, actually might have this clip, but Henry was like, she said she was done talking or something, and he was like, she's done talking, I'm not. So he was like, I'm gonna go down here and give her a piece of my mind.
Not thinking at all. You have to be strategic. He's not being strategic at all.
Yeah, well, at this point, so I'm not knocking him, because at this point, I think Lydia had told him that if her mom found Alden and Luke, they were dead.
Want to navigate volatile markets?
No, I don't. Tight.
Ready?
Sorry.
Anxiety
no,
is
no,
in
I'm not ready.
All right. She had told, remember, Lydia had told them that if she would, if Alpha found their men, which she, it sounded like she had, from the way that they described the horses being mutilated, that those men were dead.
Right.
So I could see Daryl's thinking of, you ain't got our men, we ain't giving you your daughter back, fuck you, bitch.
Right. And but Henry brought up a good point, but what about you? Like, you ain't fucking nobody, you're her child. What make you think she wouldn't come looking for you?
That's not what he's, well, we know she came looking for him.
Right.
He's at the gate.
Correct. No, when they was having a conversation earlier.
Right. But we know what happened since then.
Correct.
So all that is now moot. It's moot now. Cause like, we know what happened. She did come looking for her daughter. She was right. You know, Henry was right. But Daryl's thing is, you can't have her. Cause you beat her. So I'm not giving you her back. Like, what the fuck would I do that for?
His was, like you said, I completely understand, but his perspective was like, oh, them niggas dead, so
yeah,
you have no leverage, what are we talking about here?
Right. You killed our men, we're not giving your daughter back, get the fuck off my lawn before we kill your ass. And so he wants to see if she wanted some of that smoke.
Go get him.
And so Alpha tells her men to go get him. I also love how they do, even when they're out of, you know, out in broad daylight, they still talk quietly because, you know, the zombie, like, the whole zombie lifestyle they live in.
Mm-hmm. Talk loud, you get got.
Mm-hmm. So they go to get him. And this whole time, Connie is still hiding in the corn stalks.
Yeah, because she got separated from the group.
Watching what's going down. Keep in mind, Connie can't hear. Mm-mm. So she, you know, she can't read lips. They're not talking loud. She's just basically observing. So, a couple things here. One, when she asked who was the leader, nobody really answered. Daryl said, it don't matter. But Daryl came down to talk to her. Like, mm-hmm. I know that makes it seem like he the leader.
Right.
Tara's there. She didn't come down.
Mm-mm.
The other thing is, when that sound you heard was a fucking baby crying.
Mm-hmm.
Because they brought a baby with them to the confrontation.
Purposefully, too.
Yeah, on purpose.
Brought a baby out here.
Yes, Daryl noticed. He said, hey baby,
what you doing out here?
What you doing out here?
Who brought you out to the dope bar? You know it's strippers. Why you out here, baby?
He said, I'm selling drugs, nigga.
I'm more gangster than you.
We're animals. Animals live out here. Animals are babies, so we have babies out here. Now, what were you saying? Light us all up? You seem to want conflict. I don't. So I'm proposing a trade.
It's Luke and Alden, y'all. They hostages.
Yeah, because her whole thing was like you say, because Jill and them really don't know anything about this group. She was like, look, if I would have came to be gangster, we could have got gangster. But
right.
But I'm not being a gangster. You know, I'm actually coming in peace.
Right.
You know, you look like you want it, you know, and I don't mind giving it to you now. But in this situation, we ain't got to get gangster.
Mm-hmm.
I'm finna kill you. I'm finna drill you. And now you bleed.
That's how Daryl came downstairs.
Come on.
And she was like, I really just came to talk. Like, it's, by the way, I got your men hot. So, I mean, if you want to see some people die, we can make that happen.
Right. I mean, what were you saying about killing us?
I was assuming you want these niggas back.
Right.
And she did want to kill them, but she knew the strategy of getting Lydia back would involve not killing them.
Right, because she'd killed them, there would have been no negotiation.
I wanted to kill them, but I want my daughter more. One of mine, two of yours. It's a good trade, which is why you're going to take it. Now, bring me my daughter.
She be looking so crazy with that bald head and that shit on her face, man.
Right.
She is the craziest.
She's a lunatic.
but see, she's just not trying to appeal to the male gaze, okay? You understand?
To nobody's gaze.
You underdig what I'm saying, y'all? Okay. But yeah, so Daryl, you know, confronts her or whatever. Then he's like, okay, well, I guess I gotta go get her daughter.
Right.
He goes back to look for her daughter. And, while he's doing that, the dead start coming up on Alpha's group. Alpha tells her men to lead him away. The baby starts crying. The motherfucking baby starts crying, y'all.
Yeah, the baby ain't got no business out there.
And the whisperers are so cold-blooded. They a goddamn baby, y'all. A baby.
They look, yeah. She, the mama looking at her terrified, and she looked there like, bitch, I don't know what to tell you.
And not just any baby. A premium white baby, y'all. I know, I couldn't believe it either. I was shocked and appalled. I said, they are letting white babies die in the Z-Pop.
Right. She is not trying to make America great again.
Okay, you do know that, that Trump is out here, the entire purpose is to get white people having babies again, and y'all just giving them away, huh?
Giving them away.
So yeah, the baby starts crying. She tells her men to lead them away. The zombies, of course, hear the baby and start turning around because they're magical, convenient zombies. And they're like, ooh, a baby. Is that part. Okay, volume. What are we doing here? One more time.
Oh, let's talk. Should we lead him away?
No. Keep him back. Why? Yeah. From the prisoners.
Because now. She also thought they'd be finished by now, too.
Yeah. And she was like, don't lead the zombies away. Just keep them away from the exchange.
Right.
So her group goes to lead them away from the exchange and keep them nearby. Because, you know, the zombies are camouflage. They can be a weapon. They can be a lot of shit for this group.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Luke somehow sees some convenient TV shit. He sees Connie through the cornfield.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows how? Right, none of the fucking the whisperers and the zombies have seen her, but he sees her and he starts giving her sign language that says, "Hey, just hide until there's some dead people. I mean, some zombies. Hide until the zombies are gone. Stay hidden. The dead are coming." Is what he said.
Daryl, what'd you say? Are they okay?
Yeah, they will be.
You
gotta hand back the girl.
So Daryl, I'll skip this part, but Daryl basically goes in looking for Lydia, and Ina is like trying to find out because she knows Alden's alive now. So she's like, what we gotta do to get my baby back? And Daryl's like, I'm gonna give him Lydia. And right. He said, I'm looking for Henry so he can say goodbye to her because Henry really likes her.
Right.
And then someone else comes up and they're like, yeah, Tara and Magna went looking for Lydia because Tara decided while you was over there talking, we definitely giving this girl back to her mama.
Right. I don't care what the fuck you feel like. Right. When you get back, we giving her back.
Because apparently Tara is the real leader, okay? She's the one who's really making
right.
decisions.
Right. Like, our people ain't going to die for some bitch we don't know.
Right. She's like, I run Hilltop, you stay here. But Henry has actually taken Lydia and left. They found an open gate. The key was in the prison's gate and they were gone. So that's where that went. Now let's get back to the zombie action. Back out in the field. The zombies are lingering around, going in a circle. And that's when the baby started crying. Now the mother is trying to comfort it. She looks scared. Alpha just gives her a very cold, unflinching look. And she doesn't tell her men to help. And then she gives her the shrug like, I don't know what you want me to do.
Right. Because you know you take off running, both of y'all dead.
So the zombie mother, the walking mother, takes the baby born off of her and lays it on the ground for the zombie to eat.
Cause she was like, shit, we both can't die.
Cause it won't eat her cause she's like in all her zombie clothes and shit.
Right.
Cause you're just gonna let this little white baby die, y'all. Look at this. It's a damn shame. And Luke and Alden, who had their mouths tied, are of course objecting to this. Like, it's a fucking baby.
Right.
And Alpha don't give a damn.
She's like, bitch, I don't know what to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
To laugh with the dead means to live in silence. The mother can't quieten the child. And the dead will. Natural selection.
That's it. She didn't give a fuck.
Like a gangster.
Now, here's the thing, though.
Guarantee you this must happen all the time.
Here's my thing, though, Karen. Is it gangster? This has to make her look very hypocritical among the people that follow her, in my opinion. Because you would leave a baby to die, and yet here you are negotiating to get your own daughter back. But I gotta leave my baby to die. I'm supposed to just not feel any way about that shit?
Right.
Yo, baby, we gotta save your grown ass baby that got herself captured. And y'all leave behind sick, y'all leave behind the injured, and your daughter gets captured, and now we're sitting at this gate negotiating all because of you. I don't know. This seemed like, considering what the politics of that group must be, this seemed like a bad idea for her.
Yep.
So and then
somebody gonna, so I think once everything's said and done, somebody gonna challenge her and she gonna fuck them up.
Right.
To let be like, hey bitch, I'm in charge.
So then Connie goes and gets Connie gets the baby while it's laying there before zombies can eat it. Cause
yeah, because Luke signs to her because you know
she says baby crying. Zombies come in and she saves the baby.
Right.
But it was one of the most scary scenes I've seen. Like, they've done some good scary scenes this season, but this one might be even more scarier than the graveyard scene for me.
Right, because it was the fucking best. And I mean, you know that she can't hear,
mm-hmm.
but when they do this scene and you realize, oh no, 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 no. We're hearing what she's hearing. Mm-hmm. And you're like, holy shit.
Well, they took us inside the inside of her point of view.
Right.
She grabs the baby, kicks over a couple of the dead. Keep in mind, none of Alpha's people are gonna try to help.
Nope.
I don't know, and they may have even been trying to kill her, but we don't really see that.
They were because initially when she picked up the baby, two of them pulled out knives.
Okay, so she runs with the baby and runs into the cornfield. And what seems like an extended period of time, but it's probably like 2-3 minutes.
Wow. It feels like forever.
She's running around a cornfield, can't hear. Zombies are popping up left and right in her face. She's killing them. She's running from them. She's see one zombie, then another one pops up instead of that zombie. Like, it was scary as fuck.
Right.
And then finally, someone grabs her and it's Daryl and Tammy and, Kelly, her sister, and Tara, I think, and, they basically save her and bring her back into Alexandria. Yeah. I mean, Hilltop with the baby.
Yeah, because what had happened was that once they seen that baby, they actually started beating on the wall as a distraction to kind of draw the zombies towards them. Mm-hmm. But
it wasn't working.
Right.
Because babies are good eating.
Babies must be delicious. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't working. So they was like, well, shit, this is not working, but we got to save her. We can't leave her out there.
Mm-hmm. So, they save the, baby.
Mm-hmm.
But we also learn in this moment how fucking cold that group is. Cause they don't actually go after her. I think they were like, what the fuck is she doing? Is she attacking us? Is it an ambush? Oh, she trying to save that baby.
No, alright then, bitch. Right, so they just let the zombies just kind of float through there. Cause at first I was like, oh, somebody gonna fuck up. But no, didn't know people, wouldn't know people in there. It was just regular ass zombies just floating through the field.
Daryl goes out looking for Henry and he basically finds out that Henry is at the teenage hangout drinking spot.
Daryl stopped. Remember, he didn't completely go. Remember, he got there and was gonna go.
Oh yeah, he went to save the baby. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Enid ends up going instead of Daryl.
Right. Enid and one of Henry's teenage friends.
Yeah, the one with the glasses, the girl that I thought maybe liked him or he might have liked her, but
right.
You know, who knows? Cause that one boy was kind of like, like handcuffing her and shit the whole time. So they go to get Henry.
Right, but they was like, you're more needed here than going out, fucking going after this little boy. And, like she said, I know he liked me. Cause she knows that he likes her.
Who said that?
Enid, yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. I just wanted to. Yes. And so yeah, Enid is gonna use that to get Henry to come back.
Right.
So here's Henry and Lydia in the hangout.
Yeah.
He got her some fresh new clothes, so she no longer walking around in zombie rags with that shit all over her face. So she looks way different with actual real clothes on and shit.
Right.
It's probably Enid clothes.
Right, no ear infections.
What other kind of infection she got?
Who knows?
A woman at Hilltop makes those. They kind of look like coins, but they're not worth anything.
She wasn't supposed to come.
Talk to my mother.
She broke her own rules. Maybe she misses me. Maybe she's sorry.
No, she's not. People like that don't get to be sorry.
Henry. That's Enid outside.
Stay here.
Now, in this exchange with Enid and Henry, there's something that happens here that's pretty key. I'll pause it when it happens, but it involves a email we got last week. I wonder if it clears anything up, so let's get to this.
Henry, I didn't want to tell her.
Just go. Tell me we're here. Please? She doesn't want to go back. Her mother
Henry,
hurts.
Henry, if there was something I could do to help her, I would. No one wants this. But Lydia, she doesn't belong to us, okay? Alden and Luke do. Her mother has them. She'll kill them if we don't give her back.
No, there's got to be another way.
There isn't.
No, just poke thing. Just I'm being sorry. Naive.
Like, I held hands with a girl for the first time. Y'all not gonna take this away from me. I don't care if Luke and Alden die.
Right?
It's not fair. It's not right.
No, I know it isn't. But it's something we're just gonna have to live with.
How?
When I was about your age, I saw my parents die.
Okay. That's really important. Because remember last week we got that email about like, yo, is it creepy that Alden and Enid are hooking up? What is her age supposed to be? And I was like, I really don't know what we're supposed to think about, you know, this, cause it's hard to separate real life from the plot. In the plot, we are now 6-7 years removed from, whatever age she was the last time we saw her. They've done their job to try to make her look more grown and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw her as Carl's love interest. And in my mind, I would have said Alden and Carl are not that close in age. But I think we're supposed to see that Henry's actually pining over this girl that's too old for him in a way.
Right.
Like he loves him some Enid, but apparently he's the same age as her when her parents died, which was like 7-8 years ago.
Right. Cause he was a lot younger before.
What do you mean?
Before, remember when...
Oh, yeah, it's a different actor playing him and everything.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, so that period of time, he was younger. So, yes, I could see it being, like, a big gap in age. She's like, because she's probably in her 20s now.
Right.
So, she's like, and he's probably a good teenager. I don't know, he's probably not even 18, 16, 17, somewhere right. in there.
And so now I wonder if people feel any differently about the relationship with Alden, or if they still feel creeped out. I know it is kind of weird because... they made a 6 or 7 year jump in basically over the course of an episode.
Right.
Like we left one week and came back a few months later. It's like, it's been 7 years. And it's hard to retain the same actress and say she's 7 years older. Although I think, you know, one, you don't want to just fire an actress if you don't have to, but I think she's handling it well. I mean, she seems to me, she feels more grown than she was when it was Carl on the show.
Before she probably played down, and I think now she's probably playing her age in real life.
Yeah, I wonder what her age is in real life. I have to look that up.
Probably her 20 something. I doubt she's 30.
Okay.
That's just an educated guess.
I know. I don't know either.
It changed me. Became all about surviving somehow. And then someone else close to me died. Someone special. With a big heart. He left me a letter reminding me that just surviving, it isn't living. It took me way too long to get what he really meant. You live with it by staying who you are. By not letting the bad things change you.
Henry, it's okay. I'm gonna go. I have to.
What? No, no, we can...
I want to. She's my mother. They're my people. I miss them. I'm gonna miss you too. I'm gonna be okay. So will you, okay?
Lydia leaving, y'all. And then she kisses with her breath smelling like worms.
You know it's so.
They both smell like worms, though, so I guess it's okay.
Yeah.
Also, Enid looked on and saw this. She's like, oh, it's real.
Okay.
Now, let's talk about their ages. Enid, in real life, the actress, is 20.
Okay.
The actor who plays Alden is 24.
Okay.
So I don't think it's as creepy as it felt like when we saw that shit on the show the first time.
And I think they aged her down and they aged him up.
Yeah.
You know, because like you say, initially, which would have made sense, I think Maggie was supposed to be his love interest. So yes, they made him have the appearance of being older because Maggie is older. Or in the group, Maggie would have been older. Like, she might not be older. They all probably might be in the same age range, but Maggie is...
No, she's older.
Okay, so Maggie is older, so... They probably age him up to make him look older. I think Maggie's love interest.
Well, also, there's just completely different politics and hang-ups when it's a woman dating a younger man, and
correct,
vice versa. So, I mean, I get why, you know, people would have had been worried about it. But in this case, it makes sense to me that, you know, the ages were not offensively different to me.
Mm-mm.
But yeah, I had the same misgivings at first. So then she kisses him with that worm in mouth, and Daryl says, all right, it's time to exchange prisoners, which they do. After the exchange, I had a video, but there's no need to waste time playing that one. After the exchange, Lydia says, Mom, thank you for saving me. I didn't think you would come to get me. And then Alpha slaps the shit out of Lydia in front of everybody and says, you will call me Alpha like all the others. Now get in line. And Daryl and all of them see it.
Yes. And also, while all this is going on, it shows you the difference between the groups, because for the other two that were actually going into Hilltop, it was a lot of crying, a lot of hugs, a lot of, you okay? You all right? It was right. A lot of love there.
Mm-hmm.
And in reverse, it was really cold and very hard and very harsh. Mm. And that's kind of, you can immediately pick up the differences between the two groups.
And so then, after this happens, Daryl is walking into Hilltop, and Henry is practicing his staff, and he sees Daryl, and he's upset. Okay. He is like, Daryl, I looked up to you. You gave him back. You saw that woman slap her daughter in front of everybody. How can you be cool with this shit? Like, you an abuse survivor. Like, what the fuck? You know that she's going to abuse her. She going back to an abusive situation. And Daryl breaks it down for him.
Right. because he just thinks everything's supposed to work out perfectly, and you like, dog, it don't always work out perfectly. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you got to, and that's the thing, his inexperience is speaking.
I get why we had to do it, but it doesn't make it okay.
I never said it did.
So what do?
We live with it.
Yeah, that's what Enid said. I saw the scars on your back. I think you know better than anyone what we just sent her back to. How can you live with...
Look, the world is just shit sometimes. You live with it. Sometimes that's all you can do.
But what about before? At Alexandria? I know what you did to help when things went bad there.
No, you don't. Not really.
Now, I think this is another reference to what we haven't seen yet.
Right.
Whatever happened with that made Maggie and Michonne not be friends, and Tara feel like she had to move out because she helped the other group. Like, it must have been some real shit, and Daryl must have been involved. It's probably why they got those X's from Michonne and Daryl on the back. So it's real, whatever it is.
Did what I had to do today. We all did.
So anyway, we get a closing montage that is Ezekiel and the frame, you know, declaration, as I told y'all earlier. The ASL group celebrates having Luke back, and they're drinking in their room. Henry can't sleep. Enid and Alden make sweet, sweet 20-something-year-old love.
I was like, yeah, gonna have another baby somewhere.
And finally, Henry gets up from bed. He leaves a note. The nerdy girl somehow was in his room and saw the note and brings it to Daryl and says, hey, Henry left a note that says I can't live with it. And
she probably was going to check on him and was like, the fuck is this?
Right. And so Daryl's like, all right, let me get my shit. I'm going to go out and save him or try to,
track
you know.
Him down.
Right. And so he does that. And Connie, who, even though everybody was drinking and partying in the ASL group, she kind of had this very like concerned look on her face.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's outside and she's like writing on sitting at a bench. She sees Daryl. She writes down like, where are you going? And he's like, going, he pulls up the note and shows Henry's note and says, basically, I'm going to look for Henry. She's like, I'm coming with you. He says, no. And then she says, like, I'm coming with you. And he walks away, and then she follows him behind him.
And when they was exchanging notes, because basically they started exchanging notes, and she was like, I can't live with it either. So it bothered her also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's the end of the episode. Mm-hmm. So I thought it was a really good episode.
Same.
You know, I do find Lydia to be a sympathetic figure. Like, I think when we first meet Lydia, I'm like,
I thought she was trying to con them.
Yeah, and also, like, you don't know how deep the abuse goes until she's talking and shit, and then you realize, right, like, yo, her life is fucked up.
Yes, sir.
She never really had a chance. And after that, I'm kind of like, okay, I get it now. You know, and I do want her to be saved or to not be in that group, because it seemed like a mom in that group are probably like, they're terrible. They let people die. Like, you know, you can have a better life. I, you know, now why all of them can't go have a better life, I don't know. They seem like some of them are adults and they chose that shit somehow. But yeah, anyway.
And also, I think too, you're talking about the adults. I think because everybody has their tribe. So I think that this is their tribe, quote unquote. You know, like, this is how we're surviving. So, you know, so a lot of people, just like anything else, you become accustomed to fucked up situations. So, you know, to them, this is normal. This is what we do. This is life. We, you know, the dead ain't going nowhere. It'll never go back to normal. It's almost kind of cult-like. So I can completely understand this. And also, even though it's fucking annoying, I understand Henry's perspective. Like, the fuck? Like, this doesn't make any sense. But he's saying it from a very naive place. And actually, he's never been in a position where he's had to make life and choice decisions about other people. So it's real easy for
life and death decisions?
Yeah, like he's never had to make life and death decisions about other people. Like, he's never been over a group of people to say, if I do this, these people are going to die. Like, he's been at the kingdom, and most of those decisions have been made by other people.
Yeah, I just remember him letting them savers out the pen. He said he was going to kill them and shit. So he was making life and death decisions. And, for them niggas in that pen, for sure, with that gun.
Right, but when I mean, like, he's not over a group. He was doing that as an individual person. He's never had to be over a collective group of people.
Oh, well, no. See, okay, so I disagree with you slightly, because this isn't about him leading a group. He didn't think it was a bad decision to make that trade. He's not upset about the trade. He's upset that she had to go back. That's it. Because he told Daryl before they started that conversation, the first thing he said was, I understand why they had to do that, why y'all had to trade him. But it's just not right that we know she's going back to an abusive home and there's nothing we can do. And Daryl's like, yeah, you just live with it. And he's like, how do you just live with it? Because it's not about, y'all shouldn't have traded Luke and Alden, and if I was in charge, I would have did it different. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, no, we didn't have a choice. We had to do what we had to do. But I want to save her, so I'm gonna leave by myself, find her, and try to convince her to come back with us, because he thinks it's the right thing to do. That's it.
Okay, so and I guess from my perspective, I understand, and it's annoying, but it's still coming from a very selfish place to actually go out of your way to do that,
to save her.
Right.
I think it's coming from the most unselfish place possible. Because I don't see what's selfish about trying to save somebody else. He really thinks her situation is that bad. He's like, your mom beat your ass, and you were sick, and your fucking ear was fucked up. You know, and I was out there, and somebody had to do it for me, so I'm paying it forward. If nobody would have treated me and my brother and my dad civilized, I would still be crazy. And so he's like, I think Henry looks at her and says, I could have been you, but these people intervened in my life, and now I'm not. So I'm going to intervene in your life, so you won't end up bad either.
And I guess the reason why I say, because, and now that I agree with, I understand what you're saying about it's coming from a place of love, it's coming from a place of concern, it's coming from a place about her safety and well-being. But like I said, it's very selfish, because this is your own, like Daryl, this is your own personal thing you're trying to do, and you don't care about how it's going to affect the group as a whole. You don't give a fuck about the ripples behind it. You don't give a fuck about anything past, I'm making this decision. So that's why I said, yeah, that selfishness comes
in. I feel you. I guess I just, to that level of selfishness is a constant for this show. I don't, like, that's what people do.
Correct.
You know, it's every time I'm in the Facebook group and I'm like, if y'all could just leave each other alone rather than argue, it'll be straight. And then motherfuckers be arguing, and now I gotta come in and do something when they could have just blocked each other and not talked about each other anymore.
Right.
But their selfishness is ultimately the human condition, right? They can't see past, I have to argue with this person, I have to talk shit about this person, I can't just go about my life and leave this person alone and they leave me alone, you know? And so that is to me kind of the opposite, because he's doing it to be nice, but he's basically saying, like, I'm young enough and idealistic enough, as they have painted the whole season,
right,
to believe that nobody should have to live like that.
And that's why I understand why he, even though it's frustrating, I do understand why he's making the decision that he's making.
Let me flip it this way, okay? If Michonne did it, would we be up here like, you selfish? I can't believe you would do that. If Michonne said, I saw that little girl, she's suffering, her people are abusing her, I'm going to fucking get that little girl and bring her back, will we be like, I can't believe you would be so selfish?
And no, but also I think that there would have been a plan, because that's the thing. I guess my thing is that you're doing it without a plan, you're going solo, you're not consulting, it's not strategic. So
it's not strategic because it's from the heart. And low key, the reason it's not strategic is because nobody else would go in with him on it. So how you gonna have a strategy? You know what the strategy gonna be when he, hey guys, I got a plan. No, you can't do it. Well, morally, I feel obligated.
Right.
This is the reason I like to bring it to real life. This is why when people get abused and motherfuckers just go about eating their cornflakes.
True.
Cause it's like, you know, so that's why I say it's, to me, it's not selfish, it's something else. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like he made friends with this girl who's in an abusive situation and he is so young, he can't stomach it. He hasn't been through enough shit in his life to be okay with it. You know who else would have done this? Carl.
Agreed.
So like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like that lesson that was Carl that everybody had. Well, Carl's dead now. And
that's how they got Sadiq.
Yeah. Carl's dead now. Everybody's moved the fuck on. Everybody's like, okay, well, too bad he's dead. Enid was essentially telling him, like, Carl died and I was so hurt and he was so special. He had a big heart. But yeah, but Carl's big heart would have said, okay, even if we exchange to get our people back, we got to go save her. That's what Carl would have wanted to do.
And I thought that would have been the plan. But like you say, when you go back and look at how the story went out, he would have, he literally was the only one. And you know who else might have did it at some period of time? Rick was like, yeah, I'll get him back, but we're gonna go get him.
Yeah, I mean, because the thing is, like, that it's a matter of how, so for me, this is why I love this show, it's a battle for the group's soul all the time.
Right.
What has happened since Rick's death and the 6 years subsequently is that they stop believing in community. They stop
right.
believing in helping each other. They don't even help each other.
Mm-mm.
They don't even want to help each other. They don't even want to do the fair. Like there's so their hearts have hardened so much that when they see somebody in need, they fight against their nature to help that person. But you know who we didn't call selfish? Connie saving that baby. Because what our group also does is when they see somebody in need, they fucking link together, become Voltron, and help that person. That's just what they do. So when they saw that that baby was in trouble and Connie was with her, they didn't just stay on the other side of the fence. Alpha and them would have stayed on the other side of the fence.
Right.
The Saviors would have stayed on the other side of the fence. Mm-hmm. Oceanside would have stayed on the other side of the fence.
Yes, they would have.
Our group is not them niggas. They not some bitches that just, oh man, too bad for them. Like our, and maybe it's the reason that, you know, they have certain shortcomings, but it's also the reason our group is great and that we can cheer for them in ways we can't cheer for other groups. Like,
agreed.
We can't cheer for the, we take, we don't bother. Them niggas ain't heroes. Nobody wanna watch that boring ass show where they sit around the gate and play fucking garbage, whatever that game was where they run into each other and shit. You have to have a group that takes chances for the right things or else you can't root for them. And the group goes back and forth, obviously, depending on what they're dealing with.
Right.
And in this case, I feel like, and it's sad that they killed Carl. I wish they hadn't, but this is the Carl move. This is what, in the comic book, you know, this would be Carl.
Right.
So if this would have been Carl, I feel like people would feel differently about this whole point of view of, I want to save this girl. It wouldn't have just been like this selfish ass niggas would have been like, yes, that's his belief system.
And also, the more we talk, you're making me think. I think Henry is going to end up being the moral compass, because every moral compass we had has died. Glenn has died. The old dude who drove the van, he died.
Dale.
Herschel died.
Yeah.
Like Carl, like everybody who was the moral compass that will be like, hey, y'all,
yeah, they
die.
No,
right. So it's one of those things where he's actually becoming the moral compass. Like, hey, dog, this ain't right. This is the right thing to do. Oh, and so we skipped at the very, very end. Oh, the old couple got the baby.
Yes, they did. Thank you. So yeah, but I feel what you're saying. I'm not trying to say that it's like super ridiculous to think that he's being selfish. I just think he's being selfish, quote unquote, for the right reasons. Mm-hmm. And selfish is kind of a loaded term,
right?
Because it's not that he's doing it because he thinks he's better than everybody
no.
else. He's literally doing it because he thinks this girl is in that much trouble. Now it just depends on if you feel like that you bought that from this show, if the writers wrote that well. And also, I feel like the biggest thing is if it would have been Carl, who I think it was supposed to be.
Same.
I feel like everybody would have bought it without us having to do the like work of, is Henry really that nigga to do this? Like if it was Carl, we'd be like, Carl knows how to take care of himself. Carl was going over to Negan's house every other week. he like this fits in Fetty Carl's repertoire of I save people,
right? And also not it is not a slight against Henry. We've actually spent more time with Carl. You've built this thing to where I go, okay, that's what you do.
Yeah, it's bad pacing, bad tempo to kill Carl. I think this is where it shows that killing Carl was a mistake. To me, like, other people been saying it was a mistake for other reasons that I find to be a bit disingenuous. This is where I feel like it's a mistake, because it was a shortcut that you could have had of just sending Carl out there.
Right. A new session.
All right, now let's get into the feedback brought to you by Triangle Wine Co. Triangle Wine Company sells thousands of wines from all over the world for every budget. Visit TriangleWineCo.com and search by price, varietal, and regional, or browse for organic or highly rated wines. Take advantage of weekly sales and case discounts when you shop online to offset the cost of wine shipping, because you know shipping can be expensive. And if you act right now, they are offering a 20% discount, excluding things already discounted, through the end of March with code TBGWT.
It works, y'all.
And we also still have the Couples Goals Wine Pack. It's a two-pack of wine that is discounted from a regular price of about $30 to $20. This pack is to celebrate the coupling of a fruity balanced Shiraz, which we had on the show, with a mesmerizing Moscato, which we also had on the show.
Yeah.
To take you and your sweetheart from the main course to the dessert. So why don't you go ahead and go to Triangle Wine Co. and do that. You can also buy people e-gift cards there if you're in an area they can't ship to. You can also go to their TeePublic store, Triangle Wine Co. Just put it in the TeePublic in the search engine, and support that wine culture, that wine fun, with some nice wine merch, okay? Let the people know what you came for. They also opened up a new store in Holly Springs, North Carolina soon. So yeah, check it out, man. They got local delivery. They got a bunch of stuff. They are trying to get you drunk, all right, responsibly. So make sure you go to TriangleWineCo.com, code TBGWT, for that 20% off. And the link for the Couples Goals two pack will always be in the show notes when these episodes, where you hear this read. All right, let's get to y'all's feedback. Tia writes in, during this whole show, I was stressed. If they would have killed Ezekiel's boy Jerry, I would have been done with The Walking Dead. For real, this time.
Oh, I love him. He's so sweet.
He has those beautiful children and was so happy to give them a movie. I just had a feeling they're going to kill him with a whack zombie death. I had a vision he would slip on some old popcorn butter and then damn. But your boy came through and sliced those heads. Phew. Oh, and Henry needs to die, period, Tia. Y'all hate Henry. You know what's gonna be funny is they gonna kill some people soon.
Mm-hmm. And yes, they are.
When they kill them people, boy, it's gonna be a lot. Because the cast getting too big.
Yeah, they are.
Too many locations. You know, they gotta make them whispers a real threat. Some people gonna die soon, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
Nerd Geek Ninja says, yo, oh my god, in my Ezekiel voice, to Queen Karen and her royal consort Rod, the black guy who gives gratuity, I send in this my thoughts of riveting episode of The Walking Dead. I, in my folly, have not taken much interest in previous The Walking Dead episodes, only taking in the pleasure of your thrilling recap podcast. Only watching when my own consort, Gregory, the one who flips, would exclaim, my love, you must watch this episode. Amused, I would entertain his request, but alas, it did not pique my interest. Then, huzzah, the whisperers, your account of our heroes' encounters sparked much query. I had to see it for myself, and I was changed. And yo, my niggas, I did not know. It was great. Alpha is so dang scary without her mask, right? How's she scarier without a mask?
Ain't she though?
She took off her mask off. I said, put that shit back on. Put it back on.
Mm-hmm. Put it back on. Mm-hmm. You look better before.
Creepy. Oh my god, y'all. And even though I totally understand his reasoning, F you, Henry, falling in love with the PP girl. Look, man, Pickens is slim in his epoch, okay? Side note, I died when you called her that. and she knows exactly what she was doing giving that boy a kiss like that. Mm-hmm. Of course he gonna go off and try to save you. Well, also you gotta think about that might be the last time she get a consensual kiss in a long time and with that group.
Come on.
So every time y'all mention Gary on the recap show, although he sounds awesome, he also sounds like a dude who should have been dead by now. Well, that's true. Like, dude, how you still happy in the Z-Pop? But I had watched the episode during the war where Jerry went to save King Ezekiel and Shiva died. But I watched it after the recap, so I was just laughing at everything. But this episode, 11, it was so nice to see him in full-on Jerry mode, and I still thought he was going to die. And he and the Billers little Z-Pop babies, crying emoji, three hearts. But then on the mission, I was like, dude, I don't feel like you're taking the situation seriously, right? He was dancing and shit. It's all right now.
Right.
I'm all team ASL crew. I love how they muted everything so we could gain an understanding of Connie and her life in the Z-Pac and Luke signing to her. They really are a badass group of people. Yo, they are, man. They kind of remind us of me of our group. Now I see why her and Kelly felt like they'd be fine just the two of them out in the woods alone last episode. I've been listening to the show for so long, and even here they're watching episodes just to figure out who's who in the show, or if an episode sounded particularly exciting. But once y'all started talking about the whispers, man, that really interested me. So this is the third episode I watched back to back. Oh, congratulations. Welcome to the club. Might be a fan. LOL, just as everyone else seems to be dropping the show, I know, I'm pulled all the way in. My husband asked if I was going to go back and watch the previous seasons. I just laughed and said, I don't need to. I had the recaps.
Just like I did for a Game of Thrones.
Y'all really have such a special show and it brings me so much joy. I even bought some new cheeses and those rosemary crackers to listen to the recap show.
Come on.
Y'all be making me super hungry. Let me tell you something. Remember what I said to start this show. That combination, we hit something on that one, okay? Mm-hmm. Find that wine, find that cheese, and find those crackers, because we hit something on that one, okay? Mm-hmm. I say so myself, okay? The cheese almost gone, y'all.
Yeah, I'm finishing it off. The black bean crackers are absolutely delicious.
Especially with that cheese. It's something, that's a great combo, okay? Anyway,
next time I might do it right. I didn't read the instructions, but I don't know. I like it like this.
Also, I wanted to tell y'all about the cheese called Red Dragon. I had some of the friends' wedding. It was so good that I asked the caterer about it. Then to my heartbreak, I realized there was alcohol in the cheese. Oh, my poor little Muslim heart, but I think y'all would love it. I saw that they had it at Whole Foods. Sorry if my email is super long. I just find the entire psychology of the whisper so interesting. Love y'all, Iman. And she sent a picture of that Red Dragon. All right. I'll check it out. I don't see what I can do. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was, it's wild because we never approached this show with the spirit of like, let's shit on the show.
Mm-mm.
Now I'm not saying there's anything wrong with approaching the show like that. If you don't like a show, then why not? I'm more of the, if I don't like it, I wouldn't watch it, but I understand that that's not everybody's vibe. Some people like things when they're bad to just kind of group up and shit on them, right?
Correct.
But I really think once you start doing that, you can never turn around on the show and you can't give credit for anything it does well, because it's like if you give it credit, then you have to shit on it twice as hard to prove that you were still right about the show. So they really can't ever turn it around. And I think, you know, when I listen to podcasts that reviewed it back when I used to do that, you know, I would get that vibe of like, damn, they just gonna shit on it. They're not enjoying it. It can never be turned around. If it, an episode I could have enjoyed where I'm like, that was a really good one, they gotta shit on it because you've been shitting on it so long, it's off brand for you to be like, nah, this was a good one, you know. So I think because of that, maybe people like some people, you know, I'm sure that like the show like to hear our recaps because we accentuate the positives. And I'm sure people that don't like the show probably fucking hate our recaps, you know? Right. It's just a balancing act. And everybody, you know, makes their own choices. But I genuinely do like this show. I think it's gotten to the point now where it's better than it has been in a while, especially after changing showrunners. But I don't know if it'll ever get the credit because the pacing is faster.
Yes, it is.
They leave a lot less questions now. They're just like, nah, this ain't that big of a mystery. This is what's happening. Right. You know, and then the ones that are more mysterious, they weave into the show in a much more cohesive fashion.
Yes, they do.
So, I don't know. I think it's really hitting its stride again. But I do understand people being like, nigga, I didn't wait 4 seasons for this shit to be hitting its stride. I completely get it. This is not a defense of the show. I would not argue with somebody who didn't like the show. Mm-mm. But I don't know. I just always found it to be better than people were portraying it. Last one, EVE, our Henry hating friend. Hey, Rod and Karen. Man, that girl got Henry nose wide open, don't she? Hey, Rod and Karen, these whisperers are by far the dirtiest, nastiest, stickiest group on the show yet. Yeah, and stinkiest, probably.
Mm. Oh, you know they smell like ass cheeks.
They're even worse than the cannibals. I could literally smell them through the television screen. Yes. That wasn't dirt around Alpha's lips. That was the plague, right? My favorite part of the episode by far was Jerry. I just love his joy. Also, he looked different. Like, they styled him differently now. I feel like he had it going on. He had the slim fit with the, he took the big ass coat off and had the, like, little vest on and shit.
Yeah, he done came a family man.
Yeah, I like, also in that montage, Nabila was asleep and he was the one holding the baby up at night. Mm-hmm. I said, look at this nigga, Jerry. I love me some Jerry.
He probably took some maternity time off and everything.
A whole catch out here, just sitting out here. I knew somebody wasn't gonna let it slide, okay? Mm-hmm. The white women was like, he a little too chunky for me. And the Billa was like, shit, it'd be cold some nights.
Come on.
I loved it when he told Zeke about him being a father, and then to see him with his 3 kids, my heart fluttered. I loved it. And then seeing him lip singing to that song, it's all right now. Please don't die, Jerry, right? I would be so upset, but I feel like they're showing him a lot to rip my heart out. Yeah. Man, I got another conspiracy theory, y'all. I think it's going to be Nabila.
I hope not.
I hope not too, man, but it just seemed like the kind of thing that'll really hurt. Like, I think Nabila dying would hurt even worse than Jerry dying.
I do too.
Because I'll be like, what? Nabila ain't hurt nobody? Mm-mm. You know, she just want to plant flowers and fucking raise her babies.
Right, and keep that fucking tiger away from her. She was good.
Man, that's the only, so I don't know, y'all. I hope I'm wrong, though. I hope I'm wrong. But I do feel like a culling is coming and some people gone.
Because like you say, the groups have gotten big.
If he survives, I'll just be pleasantly surprised. I love that Connie saved that baby. That baby had been saved from a world of funk. That's why I was crying. Like, you couldn't even feed the baby with no breast milk, because it'd be like, I don't want that shit. This green, I will not eat green eggs and ham.
I don't want this milk.
I'm not talking about the Parliament Funkadelic kind of funk. And Earl and Tammy finally had someone to fill the void of losing their son. Hope they teach this baby to stay away from horses. One person I'm rooting to die is Henry. Oh, Henry, why don't you just die? Why won't you just get kicked in the face? Die, Henry. Die. Fuck you. I'm looking forward to you getting tortured next week. Does that make me a monster for having these feelings towards that kid? If it does, I don't give a fuck. Fuck that kid, EVE. Wow. Tell him how you really feel. Turn into Octavia Spencer from Ma.
Fuck them kids!
I don't know, man. Like, I get why people hate Henry. I feel like I hated Henry for so long. And his earnestness is annoying, but this particular storyline of him trying to save a girl from an abusive house is not making me hate him.
It's the right thing to do. I completely understand that.
Yeah, I don't necessarily feel like a kinship towards him or like he's a great, like, oh my God, I love me some Henry, but I definitely feel like this is a good motivation to try, like, what he's doing. To me, I understand the moral crisis that it is, as opposed to it being about his pride or his honor or whatever.
Mm-hmm, yeah, and they kind of have done things to let you know that he's gung-ho. He's willing to jump out there and go out of his way. Like when him and Carol was actually going up to Hilltop, and how somebody was kind of help. He just ran out there and shit like that. So they've done little things, but like you say, it's in between that and the years we spent with Carl. Like you say, if Carl would have done the same thing, I know I'm not even going to be a hypocrite. Yes, I would have been like, okay, that's what the fuck Carl does. Because I feel like it would have been earned.
The thing for me is, I worry he finds her with the group, and then she's like, I don't want to come back. Because she's surviving, and it will be weak of her in that group to be like, Mama, I actually do want to go and live at Alexandria. because this shit is too crazy. Y'all gonna get me killed out here. I'm not built for this life. So I think even no matter what happens when he shows up, it's like a lot of people in abusive situations, they can't tell you, I want this help. You know what I mean? And then the head trip she's going, you're not gonna get that over, you know, you're not gonna get that out of her system in no one night. You know, like she's still been living that way longer than she been living the way you living. But I feel like this is a deep situation because the show is basically talking about an allegory for like abusive relationships and victims of abuse and how do you break the cycle. And I respect the show enough to say it's deeper than just, you know, a gag where they're just trying to like have a joke on the audience at this point. I think they left that behind with Scott Gimple. So I'm hopefully this will be deep and it'll be worth it. So she gonna have to like, but yeah, I think Henry gonna go through it just cause there's no fucking way she can tell him in front of them people, I'll go with you. There's no fucking way. So even if she wants to go, which she probably do, cause I mean, look, clean clothes, water, not living as a zombie,
medication,
people don't kill babies and shit. Like you might wanna, you didn't know you had another option. And now you do, you might want to get the fuck out of there.
Yeah, and if she does decide to leave, they're going to come and wreck fucking shop.
Of course, yeah, we'll get there. We'll get there. But the other thing, though, is she also was very, well, two things. I don't know that Alpha's not in a bad position now because her showing weakness of wanting her daughter while letting other people's daughters get eaten in the fucking dirt says to me that her group, if it's the cannibalistic group that she claims it is, the Darwinism group, survival of the fittest, she not the fittest no more. Because if she was a real, like the coldest thing she could have done would have been like, well, fuck my daughter, she got caught, oh well.
And you know what, and that's why she, that explains why her daughter was like, she ain't coming for me, like,
yeah,
she never does that,
right? And that's why she slapped her in front of everybody. But it don't matter, you show weakness when you got your daughter back.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think Alpha's necessarily in the strongest position, and her daughter leaving might be the last straw in her group too. If her daughter leaves, her group might be like, fuck you, Alpha. Like, you had us risk all that shit. Them people came into our land, killed our people. That's how they put it. And, you gave them your fucking daughter. Your daughter got kidnapped. You saved her. She went back to them. Fuck you. So it could get real as fuck, man. I'm looking forward to how they finish this season. They got five episodes ago, but I'm in. So all right, y'all, that's it for this week. Thank y'all for listening. To the podcast, we appreciate y'all, and we'll talk to y'all Saturday for feedback show. Tomorrow night should be Balls Deep Sports. I actually need to check with Justin about that, but I think it's tomorrow night. And until next time, I love you.
I love you too.
Mwah.